Can you repeat your third point which you had mentioned?
Yes, Kiriji. Basically, it was these points. You've actually addressed the third point in addressing the second.
Good.
The point I was making over there is that exactly as you said, it is a social organization through machinery that capitalism also represents. But in a way, it is more insidious, more invisible, and it appears to release the individual to a certain kind of freedom, but it's a illusionistic freedom because it really controls the individual through the conscience, through the creation of the subject. It makes us or manufactures us into certain kinds of desiring beings who have a certain type of prospect in front of us of a lifestyle and also a kind of a adherence to the progress of reason. But we do this sort of in a invisible way that through education, through socialization, we are meant to feel, made to feel as if we have chosen this path. But it has actually been chosen for us. So it is the individual, freedom of choice, which at a deeper level is in some sense controlled rather than being coerced from outside by machinery. It is like a virus. The machinery has gone inside us and has created us into rational and egoistic desiring beings of the neoliberalist global world order. That was what I was
saying. Yes, I think you have covered the point quite well. And I would like to sum up this our discussion by pointing out that the nerve of the impasse is the development of rationality reaching up to a certain point and getting arrested, as in postmodernism today. And getting arrested on another line in the experiments which have been made on three ideals which reason has put forward, namely liberty, equality, and fraternity. And last several centuries have proved that these three ideals which reason demands should be perfectly synthesized and harmonized cannot be harmonized. When liberty is allowed, equality is murdered. When equality is attempted, liberty is strangulated. And as far as brotherhood is concerned, that is hardly at all in the picture except in ideas and on a kind of a lip service. This is another line on which our reason today stands arrested, and we do not really know how we can create a social structure which can fulfill all the three ideals together. And both these, actually, the present postmodernism and secondly the arrestation of the experimentation in regard to liberty, equality, and fraternity, the arrestation of these two movements, or the arrestation of the reason, movement of reason on two lines combined together, is a nerve of the impasse. If we can move forward after this, and today we are exactly at this point, we are now circling round and round and round, and it's a perilous movement round and round because of the fact that the economic man, the barbarian, has come forward as the most important element in the situation. So you might say that this is the impasse to which we have reached. And I would like to now move forward to the fourth point that Sri Aurobindo had suggested would be likely, namely solution of the religion, which has already now been advocated, which has already come into the forefront, and it is that point which I would like to consider before moving forward, because even this solution which is being put forward by many, which would declare that reason has failed, let us leave aside reason and let us try to build a society on some other grounds, namely the grounds of religion. Now, this solution that is being put forward requires to be formulated more clearly. And I should like to refer to a few lines in the Life Divine on page number 1058, where Sri Aurobindo has very precisely stated what exactly is the solution that is being put forward on the side of religion. Sri Aurobindo says, there is a possibility that in the swing back from a mechanistic idea of life and society, the human mind may seek refuge in a return to the religious idea and a society governed or sanctioned by religion. I think this is a very powerful statement, and although this proposition has not absolutely been put forward in this precise form, but there is a very big movement today in the world where there is a formula, return to the basics. Return to the values. And there is a tremendous urge among human beings today to find certainty and to escape this kind of uncertainty which has arisen all over, not only in the mental field, but also uncertainty on account of factors like warming of the earth and so on. Religion seems to be giving to mankind a kind of a message. This message has three aspects. One, that reason is not the provider of knowledge that human being requires for his journey. Secondly, that there is another source of knowledge, namely revelation. And this revelation cannot be questioned. And if mankind wants to be guided, it has to accept the truth revealed by revelation. And thirdly, that there is a rule of conduct which is implied in the revelation, which if followed by human beings would give to the individuals a kind of a fulfillment and even a possibility of a perfected social living. These three propositions are involved in the call of religion. Now, on this subject, Sri Aurobindo has written at length. And in the human cycle particularly, Sri Aurobindo has spoken of the reason and religion. One full chapter has been given by Sri Aurobindo entitled Reason and Religion. This is chapter number 13 of the Human Cycle. It is part of the volume 15 of the Centenary Edition. And he has also given another chapter, and that is the chapter entitled Religion as the Law of Life. And that is chapter number 17 in the Human Cycle. It is not my intention to go into these two chapters. I will simply state one sentence from the Life Divine, where Sri Aurobindo says that organized religion, though it can provide a means of inner uplift for the individual and preserve in it or behind it a way for his opening to spiritual experience, has not changed human life and society. It could not do so because in governing society, it had to compromise with the lower parts of life and could not insist on the inner change of the whole being. It could insist only on a creedal adherence, a formal acceptance of its ethical standards, and a conformity to institution, ceremony, and ritual. There is today, however, a more difficult situation that we are facing, and that is the claim of certain religions to spread over the whole humanity and to convert the whole humanity into the fold of one religion or the other. That is to say, to seek the unity of mankind by unifying all the people under the umbrella of one particular religion. And since several religions are doing the same thing or trying to do the same thing, there is a tremendous rivalry among these religions. And you might say that there is at present a possibility, or even partially even speaking, actuality of the conflict of religions in full swing. And this is one stage through which I think humanity has to pass, unless something else happens and we can minimize the perils that this conflict of religions would pose to mankind. It is better, therefore, that humanity comes to study the problem of religion in its fullness, realize what religion can do, what religion cannot do, and how one can transcend the necessity of returning to religions. According to Sri Aurobindo, this can be done, first of all, by pointing out that reliance upon dogma, which is the kernel of many religions and which are sharply in conflict with each other, cannot give the solution that humanity is seeking. That is to say, first of all, we have to understand the role of dogma in religion. Secondly, we have to realize that no religion can uplift a social life. A given religion can uplift individuals, a few individuals, or even many individuals. But human nature being very varied has a tremendous variety of human consciousness. It is impossible that any one particular religion will be able to unify humanity and can uplift humanity. And the third point is that whatever religio-ethical practice that can be proposed cannot transform, cannot really uplift. It can purify to some extent, it can control to some extent, and very often religions are obliged to turn into some kind of asceticism, a world-negating affirmation in which the world is condemned to be meaningless ultimately, or a compromise in which a religious life and ordinary life both are allowed to some extent to live side by side. As a result, there is no solution. That is why Sri Aurobindo says, and this is again on page number 1059, a total spiritual direction given to the whole life and the whole nature can alone lift humanity beyond itself. It is only the full emergence of the soul, the full descent of the native light and power of the spirit, and the consequent replacement or transformation and uplifting of our insufficient mental and vital nature by a spiritual and supramental supernature that can effect this evolutionary miracle. Well, this is the conclusion to which our study could lead of the exact point of impasse and the manner by which that impasse can be crossed.